Hope everyone had a wonderful Yontif. And I'd like to dedicate this class as a refuah shleima for our friend Barry Cohn. Baruch ben Asher ben Bela Machla. Shava refuah shleima. Okay, so this week's parsha is Parshas Noach. And instead of starting inside the Chumash, I'm going to start with a Mishnah in Maseches Avos. Okay, this is Perikei Maseches Avos, Mishnah Beis. And this is going to be the beginning of the Mishnah ties in the end of last week's Parsha to the beginning of this week's Parsha. So the Mishnah in, again, Perikei, Mishnah Beis, Maseches Avos reads, Asara Doreis May Adam Ad Noach. There are 10 generations from Adam until Noach. The end of Parshas Bereishis lists these 10 generations. Lohidia, the purpose of this is to teach us Kama Erech HaPayim Lefanav, how much patience there is before God, how patient He is. Shkol HaDoyres HaYomach Itzin Uboyin, all the generations were continuously angering Him. Each generation further angered him. Achehevi aleihem es mehamabol, until he brought upon them the waters of the flood. What the Mishnah here is trying to explain, according to the commentary of Tiferes Yisrael, is as to why the Torah needs to list these 10 generations. As I mentioned, last week's Parsha ends with a whole list of all the generations from Adam until Noach. Why? Why is the Torah doing that? And the Mishnah is answering to teach us a lesson. To teach us a lesson of how patient Hashem is. The bottom line of whatever way we explain this answer is that although there were so many generations that were seemingly just continuously sinning against Hashem and Hashem is not doing anything about it, we should never think that Hashem is just ignoring the situation, that Hashem is chas v'shem oblivious of the situation. It's coming to teach us how much patience there is before Him. All the generations were continuously angering Him until He brought upon them the waters of the flood. According to the commentary of Machzor Vitri, the point of the Mishnah is that although it took a long time for Hashem to bring the punishment upon the world, eventually He did. And the lesson of that is that when we see the wicked are prospering, and they seem to be prospering and surviving, and nothing seems to be happening to them for a lengthy period of time, the Torah is teaching us, don't think they're going to get away with it. Don't think that the Rishayim will get away. Hashem is the master of the world, Hashem is supervising the world, and we believe in Schar V'Einish, reward and punishment. And the lesson that the Torah is bringing us right away is, yes, it took a long time until the Mabul came, but eventually it came. And therefore, when you see many generations passing with the or a lengthy period of time passing without Hashem punishing the wicked, don't give up. Don't think He's ignoring. Don't think He's oblivious. But for whatever reason that things are being extended, they're being extended, but eventually the punishment, the judgment will come.
Also, the fact that the laws were not given to people.
So actually, Adam was given 6 mitzvahs according to the Rambam.
Oh.
And Noach was given a 7th.
But that was already.
Yeah, but they were six. But there already were 6 beforehand.
I see.
And idol worship, stealing, adultery. Those were already there. So that's what the Machzor Vitri says. Rashi in his commentary says that the lesson of all the generations that were angering Hashem until the Mabul came was how Hashem again will allow the Rishayim time to do tshuva. The reason why Hashem was waiting so long, the reason for His patience was to allow them to do tshuva. And Hashem will give a lengthy period of time for people to do tshuva. So Rashi says that's the point in the Mishnah. 10 generations from Adam until Noach, showing us His patience, is about showing us how far Hashem will go to give people a chance to do tshuva. Even wicked people a chance to do tshuva. Now, continuing on this theme, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky, in his commentary in his book on Pirkei Avos, called Visions of the Fathers, he adds that Hashem's patience is to allow the wicked to do tshuva, and the patience will only be there as long as there's the possibility of tshuva. If Hashem sees a possibility of tshuva, then there is possible. Then there's patience. Then Hashem will have patience. Hashem will give a chance. But once it comes to a point that Hashem sees there is no more chance for tshuva, that is when the punishment comes. And that's what happened here. Something happened here at this point of time, after 10 generations, at the 10th generation, that was the point where Hashem said, Soa, that's it. There's no more chance for tshuva for these people. This last generation, somehow or another, sealed the fate to say that from their behavior, from their actions, Hashem said, okay, it's clear, there is no more chance for tshuva. The Rabbi Twersky explains this together with the fact that there's a famous saying from Medrash, from Chazal, that says, Lo nechtam gzar dinam ela al hagezel. What sealed the fate of this generation that the flood was brought upon them? What sealed their fate was gezel, was thievery, was stealing. Now, if you look, at the beginning of the parasha, the pasuk reads, and this is on page 30, pasuk Yud Beis, or actually Yud Aleph, Vatishachais aretz lefnei Elokim, and the land became corrupt before God, Vatimolei ha'aretz chamas, and the land became filled with chamas, it became filled with thievery. Okay, now this is the pasuk that we say that, this is the pasuk that says that from the fact that the pasuk stresses that the land became filled with thievery, that this is the basis to say that their fate was sealed because of chamas, because of thievery. So Rabbi Twersky explains very interestingly that when Chazal say that their fate was sealed because of stealing, it means to say the manner in which the stealing was done. The manner in which the stealing was done was what sealed their fate. And we actually find, he says, we actually find two ways of explaining the thievery that went on during this period of time. First of all, the wording here used for thievery is not gezel or gneva, it's chamas. Now, in halacha, there are three types of robbers, let's call them. You've got a ganef, which means that he steals, that he's a thief, meaning he robs people at night when people aren't realizing it. That's when he does his stealing. There's a gazlan, who's basically a brazen robber, not afraid of anything. He'll just go up to you and steal your stuff. And then there is a chamsan. A chamsan means that I see your article. I want it. I don't give you a choice. I'm taking it, but I pay you for it. That's a chamsan. A chamsan is a person who will force you to sell your article. You don't want to sell it. He's going to force you to sell it, but he's going to pay you for it. So the fact that the Torah says that the earth was filled with chamas means to say that at least one of the forms of thievery that was going on here was not blatant thievery. It was the thievery of chamas, where I'm forcing you to sell. I'm forcing you to give up the article you don't want to, but I'm paying you for it. A generation or people who become used to this kind of stealing, right, it's a good chance that they're going to not think there's anything really wrong. I'm paying you for it. I'm paying you for it. You're not really losing that much. People who get used to this kind of stealing, they're going to start convincing themselves there's nothing really wrong with this. There's a medrash that says that another form of stealing that took place during this time was people would steal very small amounts of money from someone. You know, imagine, you know, a person has a stand and he's got a fruit stand. And it's called a grape stand, right? And everybody passes by and each person picks off a grape. Each grape is a minute amount of money. Even in halacha, I'm not allowed to steal from you less than a pruta. A pruta is the smallest coin that there is, which nowadays is maybe a nickel, maybe less. I'm not allowed to steal that less from you, that even that amount from you. But if I do, I can't go to Beis Din. Beis Din does not get involved in that kind of small amounts. So the people of the generation took advantage of that. They had this whole idea of like, almost like, if I remember correctly, it was like, you know, group thievery, right? Everybody, a bunch of people come by, each guy steals a minute amount. The owner has no recourse in Beis Din, and he loses out. And they, little by little, you know, gather things together.
So what generation is that?
Generation of the flood.
But Beis Din didn't exist.
Their own court system, it means. Their own court system wouldn't get involved in such minute amounts.
Okay.
And therefore, again, people who get used to that, people who get used to stealing in a manner that the courts don't get involved, again, will start convincing themselves there's nothing really wrong with this. So Rabbi Twersky points out that the forms of thievery that went on at that period of time were the kinds of forms of thievery where people had no conscience about it. They didn't really think was anything wrong. If you don't think there's anything wrong, then tshuva isn't going to happen. If tshuva is not going to happen, then there's no more patience. Now, the thing is, though, that if we're going to follow this approach, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, okay, there was no patience. They didn't see anything wrong with their thievery, and there would be no tshuva for their thievery. What about everything else? What about everything else? All the other sins that they had, which Rashi brings down, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, those things were there also. You know, a person who does those things, you could think would have a would feel, you know, even if they've created a habit of doing it, you know, deep down you realize something that something's wrong here. You know, we're saying by the thievery and the forms of thievery that took place, those forms of thievery, people will start thinking there's nothing wrong with it, and they won't do tshuva. What about everything else? Does that mean to say that stealing, that the sin of not, the possibility of not doing tshuva for, the possibility of not repenting for stealing? So the sin of stealing, that itself is enough to bring a flood upon the world? So we're going to talk about that soon. One way that I would try to answer this possibly is that, again, following Rabbi Twersky's whole approach, and that is that once there is a sin that I don't feel is wrong, which means once I start justifying some form of self-gratification, if I come to a point about one form of wrongdoing for my self-gratification, that I justify and I say to myself, there's nothing wrong with this, perhaps that becomes a trait. Perhaps that spreads to other sins too. Once there's one form of self-gratification that I do, and I do it against you, right? I'm doing it against you, but I say to myself, I find it's easy for me to justify it and say there's nothing wrong. Perhaps that now creates a kind of a habit of sorts or a trait of sorts that for my gratification, I'll justify anything. I mean, what I'm trying to say is that this it starts by stealing. The justifying what they did started by stealing because the kind of thing that they said that they did lent itself to think there's nothing wrong. But perhaps from that it spreads to other things also.
So it couldn't stop at stealing.
So it's not right. It didn't just stop at stealing. It spread once they came to this point that they had no conscience about stealing, even in the way that they were doing it, but they had no more conscience about stealing, then it probably spread to regular stealing. And that spread to other forms of sinful acts. But again, once I start justifying what I want to do for myself, perhaps that can now spread to anything else that I do. So it started with the forms of stealing that they did, but perhaps it spread to other things also.
Yeah, but then regular stealing existed in the world throughout, and God did destroy the world.
Well, that's because of the possibility of tshuva. But once they're ready, we're trying to say, the approach we're trying to use is that once they came to the point, they came to a form of stealing that they didn't have any doubts about. They didn't, they came to a point of sinning in a way that there was no more possibility of tshuva, because they don't think there's anything wrong. Perhaps that now spreads to other sinful forms, where again, once I start justifying what I want for myself, I'll do that for anything. Perhaps. Now, okay. But the point that Rabbi Twersky is trying to make is that Hashem's patience is going to be there as long as the possibility of tshuva. Once the possibility is not there anymore, then there's no more patience. And that would be the second way of explaining what the Mishnah means when it says the point of mentioning the 10 generations from Adam until Noach to show Hashem's patience, that he waited so long until he brought the Mabul, is to show that Hashem is patient. Hashem will give a lot of time for tshuva. On the condition of the possibility for tshuva. And the point that Hashem brought the Mabul was the point in which the possibility of tshuva wasn't there anymore. The way we explain that right now is that there was no more possibility of tshuva regarding their stealing. So what would it be about stealing specifically, if we're going to say it's specifically about stealing, not like I said before, that would seal their fate. So I'm going to share with you two very nice explanations that are given. One explanation that's given is with a parable, and the parable goes that about a bird that, you know, that scoops up fish from the water. Was that pelican or?
Pelican, there's a bunch of them.
Okay, a bunch of that. Pelican. So you got this bird that it swoops down in the water and picks up a fish and it's about to swallow it. And the fish begs the bird, please have mercy. Have mercy on God's creation. I'm a creation of God. You wanna murder a creation of God? And as he's begging the bird, all of a sudden he hiccups. And out pops a little fish from its mouth.
That's nice.
And the bird says, you hypocrite. You're telling me to have mercy on you because you're God's creation, and you swallow up a smaller fish? So the Divrei Shol uses this to explain that there are angels in Shemayim that are always trying to come to people's defense. And whenever Hashem wants to practice judgment and punishment, they try to arouse Hashem's mercy. But if the person who they're trying to arouse mercy about isn't merciful himself, then it doesn't work. The angels can't ask for mercy from a person who he himself doesn't have mercy on others. And that's what happened here. Once the people of the world became too heavily involved in stealing, whichever way you want to explain it. But once the sin of Gezel was the sin of Gezel was going to seal their fate, and according to the way we're explaining it, once there was no more tshuva for the pass up for once there was no more possibility of tshuva for the sin of stealing, the sin of stealing would seal their fate. Because you're not going to do tshuva on stealing, that means you have no mercy on people, on someone else. If you have no mercy on someone else, then there can't be mercy for you. So whatever possibilities of patience and mercy that can be aroused for the generation, it would end once there was no more possibility for tshuva for stealing. Once stealing came to a certain point, at that point, there was no more possibility for mercy on this generation, if this generation itself was not merciful to one another. There's a similar explanation given by a sefer called Imre Yosef, brought down here in a sefer called the Turei Torah, that brings down a famous Gemara that says that as long as the Jewish people are united, then no matter how bad they may be sinning, there's hope. They're protected. Miyesh b'neihem shalom ba'achdus, if there is amongst them peace and brotherhood, afilu hem oivde avayde zara hanach lehem. Even if their idol worships, Hashem leaves them be. And the classical example is the king Ahav. Ahav was a very wicked king. But the Gemara says, because they didn't speak Lashon Hara amongst each other, because they were at peace and one with each other, he won every war that he fought, he won. Even though he was an idol worshiper. There is something special about the protection of brotherhood, of peace. Therefore, here also, once the generation came to a point of rampant stealing, then clearly there is no peace, there's no brotherhood. If there's no peace, there's no brotherhood, you don't have that merit of protection. Okay. Another approach to explaining this Mishnah, on a similar theme as what we said before, is the explanation given by the Bar Tanura and Rabbeinu Yonah. They explain the point of showing Hashem's patience, that all the generations were angering Hashem until he brought the flood. The point is, says the Bar Tanura, Af ata, also you, he's addressing every one of us, Al tisma sheherech lo'evdei kechavim, don't wonder how Hashem is patient with the nations of the world, kol hashanim alolu, all these years, she'mishtavdim b'banav, that they enslave his children. We've been in Gullus for a long time, and we wonder, how is it that Hashem allows this to happen for so long? The Mishnah is saying that the Torah is telling us, don't wonder about that so much. Because you know what? Hashem waited a long time before he brought a Mabul. But eventually he brought it. Eventually the wicked were punished for their actions. If you're wondering what's taking so long, if you're wondering, has Hashem really watching over us? Has Hashem abandoned us? Is Hashem chas v'shalom oblivious of what's happening to us? No. Take a look. 10 generations. It was a long period of time, over 1,000 years. A long period of time that Hashem was patient. But eventually came the point that he punished the wicked. So too, eventually there will come the point of time that those that oppress us, that the wicked that oppress us, Hashem will bring upon them what they deserve. And as Rabbeinu Yonah says, Rabbeinu Yonah says it is, brought down here in the Tosfos Yontif. Okay. Shemadiya shekamoshel b'seif gmulam shilam lahem. The same way the Torah is teaching us, that just as eventually Hashem gave them there what they deserve, shevi aleim esmei ha-mabul, he brought upon them the waters of the flood, kach oidine yamim boyim. Here too, the days will come, Yesham lahem kepa'olam, Hashem will pay them according to their actions, v'yeshienu, v'yigolenu, v'mehera, v'yameinu, amen. According to Bar Tanura and according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the message of the Mishnah, or the message of the Torah, is a message that says to the Jewish people that when you wonder how long you can be oppressed by people who are clearly wrongfully oppressing you, and you wonder, you know, what's going on? Is Hashem really aware? Is he really watching? Take a look what happened between the generations of Adam and Noach. Over 1,000 years, Hashem was patient for every reason he was patient. But he let it go for a long time. And eventually, he gave them what they deserve. That is a lesson for us too. That when we wonder for how long will this go on for, we should take the lesson from what the Torah is telling us by enumerating the 10 generations of Adam and Noach to say, the time will come that Hashem will give them what they deserve for the way they've treated us, and he will redeem us. Which means the Torah is actually already, you know, ready giving us a lesson for the trials and tribulations we're going to face. Things don't go forever. Hashem does not forget. Hashem doesn't just let it go. Hashem is not ignoring. Hashem is not abandoning. There are times where Hashem allows things to go for a long time, but eventually the Rishayim get what they deserve, and that is what we have to believe also, and take that lesson from the enumerating of all those generations. One last explanation here that I want to share with you, and that is that Rashi said that the reason for Hashem being patient is to give them a chance for tshuva. The Chassid Yaivitz, which has a commentary on Maseches Avos, writes that Hashem's patience could be, meaning again, if you're wondering, why is Hashem being so patient? Why is Hashem not punishing him the way they deserve to be punished? The answer is because it's possible that a righteous descendant needs to come from these people. And therefore Hashem has to allow, only he knows why it has to be this way, but Hashem has to allow these peoples to continue existing to allow that righteous descendant to come out. For instance, Terach, the father of Avraham, was an idol worshiper. He was no tzaddik. Eventually, they say he did tshuva, but he was no tzaddik. But imagine if Hashem would have punished him, we wouldn't have an Avraham Avinu. There's a similar example of this at the end in Bamidbar, after the Jewish men are seduced by the Moabite women and the Midianite women to worship idols. 24,000 Jewish men die, and Hashem says, we have to now avenge the honor of the Jewish people against the Midianites. What happened to the Moabites? Says Rashi. Rashi brings down a Gemara that says, you know why the Moabites couldn't be wiped out? Because Rus had to come out from them. A similar idea. You could have a people that are worthy of serious destruction, serious punishment, but no. It's not going to happen because someone has to, at a certain point of time, come out from that nation. And therefore, Hashem's going to hold off until that person evolves. So therefore, you could say another, the Mishnah, the Torah is teaching us, again, if you're wondering why, what's taking so long? Why are these nations that are so wicked, why are they continuing and prospering? Why aren't they being punished? The answer generally is that Hashem has his reasons. If you want to possibly give an explanation to his reason, one reason we had, Rashi says, is tshuva. He's giving him a chance to do tshuva. And the other reason is because he's giving a chance for a righteous descendant to be able to come out. So we've got a number of explanations as to why the Torah enumerated the 10 generations from Adam until Noach. Rashi teaches us that Hashem will be very patient and give people, give Rishayim a chance to do tshuva. Chassid Yavit says to teach us that at some point of time there will be punishment for their sins. That we should never give up on that. We believe that Hashem rewards and punishes, and even if it takes a long time, it will eventually come. The Bar Tanura says, it teaches us that if you're wondering how is it that a goat that the Jewish people are in exile and being oppressed for so long, why does it happen so long and Hashem doesn't punish those who are oppressing us? Don't give up hope. Don't give up that Hashem has abandoned us. Sometimes it just takes a long time before Hashem decides that it should be done, but eventually it will happen. And the Chassid Yavit says that it's teaching us, again, if you're wondering why things take so long, why are these nations not being punished, the answer is to allow a righteous descendant to come out from them. Now, the other half of this Mishnah, reads like this. Okay, so the end of last week's Parsha, you've got 10 generations from Adam until Noach. At the end of this week's parasha, you have all the generations from Noach until Avram. Why is the Torah mentioning all these generations? So the Mishnah says, Asara Doiris Minoach Ar Avram. There are 10 generations from Noach until Avram. Lohidia Kamerech Lof Apayim Lefanav. Again, to show how patient God is. Shekol HaDoiris Hayumach Isim Uboyin. All the generations were continuously angering Hashem, Ashaba Avram v'kibal alav schar kulam, until Avram came and took the reward of all of them. So again, 10 generations from Noach until Avram, enumerated by the Torah, for us to think about the fact of what took place between Noach and Avram, which were generations again, even after the Mabel. That's how some of Farshim point out that Even that Hashem is patient even after the experience of the Babel.
Well, but there was nobody to remember except for Noah.
But he passed it on. It's not like it was, these were the people, you know, Noah and his family, they passed on it clearly, you know, but it didn't seem to take too long for the people again to be angering Hashem. Even after the Babel, they're angering Hashem and Hashem is still being patient. But it says he was being patient until Avram came and took the reward of all of them. What does that mean? Before, the Mishnah says Hashem is patient until he wiped them out. Now it's Hashem is patient until Avraham came. What does that mean? So the Tveras Yisrael has a fascinating explanation. And I think it's a very important explanation for us to realize. And that is that the point of the Mishnah saying that all the generations were angering Hashem until Avraham came is basically saying that what Avraham eventually merited, which is that Hashem would choose him and his descendants to be his special people and to experience the unique relationship that is unique and only to Avraham and his descendants, considered his descendants, the Jewish people. In essence, every nation of the world could have had that experience. Originally, the plan was that everyone should receive the Torah. That every human being, every nation should be able to have a unique relationship with Hashem. And Hashem gave him the chance. There was a mom. And Hashem said, look, I wiped everything out. It's a brand new start. Here's another chance. Here's your chance or another chance. 10 generations. Hashem is waiting. 10 generations for the people of the world to turn around and become worthy of having the unique relationship of the Torah, of Nevuah, of everything. And it didn't happen. No one was doing it until who came around? Avraham. And when Avraham came around, Hashem said, okay, it's not happening. It's not happening. No one else wants it. No one else is striving to be able to have that closeness. Only Avraham. Now it's only Avraham. So the kibbutz schar kulam, he received the reward for all of them, says Tveras Yisrael. The reward of all of them means the what was destined to be for all peoples of the world, now only Avraham received it. And I read to you how the Tveras Yisrael says it. Rotzeh loymar, schar shayu kulam ru'uyim lo. What everybody was really capable of attaining, which is to bring them under the wings of the divine presence, to reveal himself to them like he did to Avraham, and to make a covenant with them, to give their children Torah, and to do miracles for them, and to shower them with prophecy. That was the original intent. That was the original plan. Everyone should be able to attain this. Everyone should be able to merit all these precious things, this precious relationship. After 10 generations sinning, everybody was pushed away. Rak Avraham, only Avraham. And the choice descendants of Avraham, Yisrael Avdoi, meaning the children of Yaakov Avinu, Zoch Matanas Halal, they merited these gifts. So, you know, when you think about this, it's like, you know, Hashem had a plan and it didn't work out. You know, it's a little bit hard to understand. But we know that Hashem gives us free will. And the point is that the free will that man was given first was, if you do what's right, you will attain everything, you'll attain the closeness that we pride ourselves on, that we know that we have. We have Torah, we have Nevuah, we have Olam Haba. We have all these special things. It wasn't meant only to be for us. It was meant for everyone. But they blew their chance. And because they blew their chance, and Avraham didn't blow the chance, Avraham now merited that he and his descendants, those worthy of being called his descendants, would now merit all that good. So the lesson of the Torah of 10 generations of Noach is to say, look, I gave the world a chance. I gave the world a chance for 10 generations to be like Avraham, to merit what Avraham merited. But at the end, after 10 generations of continuing to sin, of 10 generations of not doing what they should to merit all this, that was it. They lost their chance and Avraham got it.
But isn't there, well, not quite similar, but somewhat similar matters about God offering Torah?
Yeah, so what's interesting is that there were clearly times that Hashem gave them a chance again.
Okay.
He gave them a chance again. before the giving of the Torah gave them a chance. I believe there are those who say that with the Jewish people, which we had at the end of Devarim, they had to write the Torah on all those stones in the water. That was a chance again. So there were, yes, there were other chances. But the chances started right away. The chances started right away, and they didn't take the opportunity. Okay. Now, what I want to share with you is a very interesting medrash that is brought down, a very interesting medrash brought down in Yalkut Shemayni. And the medrash says like this. Okay. So we know that Hashem told Noach that you take two of everything. Right? Zachar and Nekeva. You take a pair of everything into the Teva, and that will now replenish the world. So the Medrash says, Asa Shikra Boy Lemeyal, Sheker, falsehood, wanted to come on to Noach's ark. Amalei Noach. Noach said to him, basically Noach said to him, you have a partner? Leis ad yochel ele im kein nasis lachzut. He can't come on without a partner. Pagab pichsa. So sheker met pichsa. Pichsa means yisurim, suffering, destruction. Amalei man min anat asi. So pichsa, destruction, said to sheker, to falsehood, where are you coming from? Amalei min gabi noyach. I'm coming from noyach. Tazilas boy lemeel etevois leishavakli. I want to go on to the ark, and doesn't let me. Elo amalei, he said to me, yislach bar zuk at meyal. If you have a partner, then you can come. V'yat boy tevi zugi, you want to be my partner? Amalei amad yoevli. So pichsa says, What are you going to give me for it? Here's the deal. The chamada anam esagel at nasvas. Whatever I gather, you can have. Askin minayin. They made a deal. The chode shikra machanis tehe pichsa nasva. Whatever sheker gathers, whatever sheker acquires, destruction gets it. Va'alun tarvein letevaisa, and they both went into the ark. Kevin the nafik. Once they left the ark, have a shikra azal machanis. So falsehood went around, started gathering together what it wants to get. Upichsa nasva the kadmi, and pichsa takes it away right away. Asa shikra came back, came home one day. Amalei in inu called eskilis. What happened to everything that I gathered together? Amalei v'lav kin iskanesi me. Didn't you make a deal with me? The chomada at machanis ana nasva. Whatever you gather, I take. And sheker had nothing to say. Okay. So what's the point of this medrash? No. This medrash that Chazal are, you know, giving us this story. And what's the message here? What's the point? So the Chafetz Chaim learns that the point here is that shikra, falsehood, means falsehood in money, stealing from someone, cheating someone, meaning basically taking what's not yours. Now, as we just read in the Mishnah, for 10 generations, Hashem was very patient. Hashem was very patient. And there was a lot going on. And there was stealing going on. And as we said before, stealing was what sealed their fate. But basically, nothing was happening. When a person stole, nothing was really happening until, you know, until all the sins came to a point that there was no more hope, nothing to wait around for, and Hashem wiped everything away. But it's not like, you know, when you stole, you lost it. You stole. And it's very possible you'd hold on to it and pass it on. But all this was part of the sin of stealing that the generation had that eventually brought their downfall. After the Mabel, Hashem said, no more of that. When you steal, when you cheat someone, when you gather money that's not yours, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. And there are numbers of psukim and in Tanakh and sayings of Chazal that talk about, you know, people who steal and cheat, and think they can become rich from it, it's not going to last. So the point of this medrash is that until the Mabul, there was patience when it came to stealing. There's a certain degree of patience. But now, after the Mabul, it was a new deal, it was a new reality. If you try stealing, it's not going to last by you. You might think your stealing is going to work and it's going to help make you rich. Hashem says it's not going to last. It's not going to last. And there are many psukim that portray this idea. So that's what the Chafetz Chaim learns, what the point of this medrash is. Point of the medrash is, after the Mabul, Hashem said, you steal, it doesn't last. The kind of patience that I had for stealing before isn't going to continue anymore. That's one way to learn this medrash. The Sefer Shari Ora, he suggests that shikra here doesn't mean falsehood in the sense of falsehood and money, but he says shikra, falsehood here, means the Yetzirah, the evil inclination. The power of evil in the world, which is always trying to portray to us that evil is the better way to go, but we know it's not because it brings our downfall, that's shikra, that's falsehood. The Yetzirah works, the power of evil works it works with falsehood. Because it's always trying to portray to a person what's better for him, and it's really not better for him. So shikra existed in the world. Definitely existed in the world, right? The generations were sinning, and Hashem had to bring a Mabul. After the Mabul, shikra, sinning, the Yetzirah, got a partner. That partner is called Pichsa. Pichsa, we explain, means suffering, destruction. The partner of the Yetzirah now is suffering. Meaning, Hashem isn't now going to wait. Before the Mabul, Hashem waited many generations. Came to a point, had to destroy the world. Now, after the Mabul, when Hashem said he's not destroying the world, how does he keep the world going? How does Hashem make it that the sins don't pile up and accumulate to the point that there's a need for major destruction? The answer is suffering. The suffering that we get along the way atones and cleanses us from our sins so that they don't pile up too much and therefore demand greater destruction. That the world can't exist anymore like that. If the world is going to be able to exist, there has to be suffering. There has to be something that only Hashem knows how to do it and how much of it to bring. But there has to be now suffering so that the effects of Sheker, the effects of Yetzirah, the sins that it brings upon us, instead of waiting for a long time till they build up and then to bring destruction because of them, but rather at earlier points to bring the suffering, which already cleanses us at an earlier point. It brings the level of amount of sins to a lower point, and because of that, the world is able to continue and exist. So before the Mabul, very patient, very patient. After the Mabul, the way for the world to be able to continue to exist is not to allow the sins to accumulate to a large degree, but actually at certain points when only Hashem knows, to bring suffering, which cleanses us of our sins, brings down the amount of our sins, and there's no need to have to bring the kind of punishment that he would bring if he wasn't cleansing them at an earlier stage with the suffering that he brings upon us.
But doesn't this go against the patient story that you said in the beginning?
Well, it means that there is clearly, you know, there's both.
What?
There's both. Doesn't mean that there's both. It's a lesson of patience, and there is a lesson of patience. At the same time, though, in order to make sure that we now in the new world after the Mabul should be able to survive, we need that our sins should somehow or another be mitigated. We need to cleanse them at an earlier point so that we don't come to the point of so many sins that now demand destruction.
No, but the first argument you also used to tell people why their oppressor are prospering. For
right,
example.
Right.
So now there is a little bit less strong an argument, because if Hashem is
clearly, if I understand you, what you're saying is that clearly, yes, the long suffering is part of the suffering that helps us.
Right.
At the same time, though, it's tough to deal with that.
Right, exactly.
And at the same time, you have the lesson that says Hashem is a judge, and eventually Hashem will take care of the Rishayim. Okay.
right. Thank you, Rabbi. Let me try this. Done.
Yeah, but you don't
make it. I hope I'm not more.